Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you're brand new, welcome to the Daily Hope family. We hope you'll enjoy the teachings of Pastor Rick Warren right here. I'm so excited for all of you to learn about your shape. It might not be the shape you're thinking of right now. Rick loves to use acrostics, and this one is S-H-A-P-E, your shape. Your spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experiences. And one of the reasons I love this series and have shared it with so many friends is because Rick talks about the way God wired you and why you need not just know your shape, but how to use it to do the things that God designed you to do. And now here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Why God Shaped You the Way He Did.
God says, I made you for my benefit, not for the opinions of other people. Look at what the Bible says. Isaiah 43, bring me all the people who are mine, whom I made for my glory. Circle that, whom I made for my glory. Those I formed and created. You were made for God's glory. That's why you're alive. If you didn't bring glory to God, you wouldn't be alive. You wouldn't be taking your next breath. God made you to enjoy you, to love you, to watch you, to bring glory, to bring pleasure to himself. Now, why am I belaboring this point? Because there are a whole group of people out there today who are basically saying the only people that matter in life are those who are really smart, really beautiful, or really athletic. And those are the people that matter, and the rest of you, tough luck. And only the superstars matter in life. And that's what our society says. They're more important than you. They're wrong. They're wrong. And they're even going to the point and say, well, what about these older folks who are in the rest homes? They're not making any contribution to society. They're not doing any good. They're not making a contribution. Why don't we just do euthanasia? That means knock them off, kill them, get rid of them. Because they've served, they're just taking up money on the tax rolls. And they're not making a contribution. Have you ever thought that God wants them alive because he just wants to love them? And they're alive not to give anything back to society, but to teach us to learn to love unconditionally. God says, I love them, and I determined the day they will die before they were even born. And I don't want you short-circuiting that time. And they'll die when I want to bring them on to heaven. But I want them here, and I have a purpose. And maybe that purpose is just for him to love them and for us to learn to be unselfish and love people who can't help us back. Or what about people who are laying in a hospital and they're in a, quote, vegetative state, and somebody says, oh, she's just a vegetable. Well, do you think God loves that person any less? No. Do you think God has a plan for their life? Yes. And you say, well, let's just pull the plug on that person. Well, who said? Maybe God wants them alive just to love them and maybe to teach you unselfishness. All life is sacred. You see, it is this mentality that some lives matter than more that caused the Holocaust. That was the mentality of Hitler. Some people are more important than others. So we'll just wipe out the weak, the infirm, the aged, or people we disagree with. And today we even see it in young couples who have a child and they're expecting, and they say, well, now we hate to tell you this, but they may have a birth defect. And the people start saying, oh, well, maybe we should abort them. Well, let me tell you something. If everybody who had a defect was aborted, you would have been aborted because you have defects. You want me to point them out to you? Everybody is handicapped, friends. You just don't admit it. You have some emotional handicaps. Oh, boy, do you have them. And you have some fears you won't even talk to your wife about. Scares you to death. And you have some emotional handicaps and some mental handicaps. And you're not as smart as everybody else. And you have some physical handicaps. Have you learned that not everything in your body works? That's why you're not in the Olympics. And so, yeah, we all have defects. We all have problems. So who makes the decision? Oh, well, your defect isn't big enough to get rid of. Do you think, you know, when a family has those who've had special need children, an autistic child, a mentally undeveloped child, a physically handicapped child, do they love that child less? No, they love that child more. More. They love that child more. And the Bible says God loves the weak, the infirm, the special need person. And we need them in our lives to learn unselfishness. We must always protect the sanctity of life. Why? Because it reveals God's purpose. It equips me to serve Him. Life is a test, and it shows God's glory. God doesn't love them any less. Maybe you've never considered that God loves that child, that special needed child, just because He wants to show His love for them. They're not contributing, quote, the way the superstar is, the magna cum laude star. You are valuable no matter who or what you are. And so is every child, and so is every elderly person. Now, the Bible tells us that God is responsible. Did you know this? God accepts responsibility for all of our genetic defects. Did you know that? Not the problems in our lives we brought on ourselves by overeating or smoking or drinking too much, stuff like that. But all the genetic weaknesses that you didn't have any choice in, you just inherited them. Did you know that God says, I'm responsible? It's part of your shape. Look at this verse up on the screen, Exodus 4. The Lord said, who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Does God love a blind person any less than a seeing person? Of course not. And God says, you know what? I accept responsibility for this because I've got a bigger perspective than any little pea-brain human. I can see what you can't see. And I love them. And I love them as much as the person who's the all-star, prom queen, you know, Super Bowl champion. That's good news. God made you unique, and He made you original, because originals are more important than copies. Now, how should I respond to my shape? Well, you can't build your shape, develop your shape, use your shape, until first you take these three steps. And let me just give them to you quickly. Number one, the first step is acceptance. And acceptance means to believe that God knows best. When He made me, He knew what He was doing. I believe that God knows best. You see, it all comes down to a matter of trust. Do I believe God made a mistake when He made me? Or do I trust Him in knowing that He has a plan for my life? You see, do I believe, when you say, God, I don't like me. There are things I don't like. I wish I were different. I wish I had different color hair, different color skin. I wish I were taller, shorter, fatter, skinnier. I wish I had more talent. I wish I could do that. I wish I looked like him. I wish I had her smarts or intelligence, and on and on. You're basically saying to God, God, you blew it. You goofed up big when you made me. Everybody else is okay, but you goofed up when you made me. When you reject yourself, you are in essence rejecting God, because He's your creator. And when you don't accept yourself, you know what it is? It's rebellion. It's rebellion against God. It's saying, God, I know better than you. And you should have made me different, with a different set of strengths and a different set of weaknesses. And God says, no, I made you exactly to be you, because I want you to be you, with both your strengths and your weaknesses. And both of them can give glory to me. If you just start doing what I made you to do, instead of trying to be like everybody else, to please your parents, to please your girlfriend, to please your boyfriend, or whatever, I made you to be you. And it comes to acceptance. See, actually, it's quite arrogant to reject yourself. The Bible says this in Romans 9. My friend, I ask, who do you think you are to question God? Does the clay have the right to ask the potter why he shaped it the way he did? The answer is, of course not. Whenever we doubt God's love and whenever we doubt God's wisdom, we always get into trouble. And the root behind all of your problems is you don't trust God. You don't believe God really loves you. You don't believe that he really has your best interests at heart. You wish he had made you something different. And as a result of that, there's a spirit of bitterness in you that keeps you frustrated and keeps you from being all the man God meant for you to be or all the woman God meant for you to be. You were custom designed by God. Here's one more verse. You guided my conception and formed me in the womb. He let that conception happen because he wanted you and he loves you. So first is acceptance. The second step is salvation. And salvation means that I receive God's love. I receive God's love. That's the second step to using your shape. The Bible says this, let your love, God, shape my life with salvation exactly as you promise. Let your love, God, shape my life with salvation. That can shape over a whole lot of mistakes. Exactly 15 years ago today, I received this letter. Dear Rick, over the years, the concept that you've taught me that has helped me the most and helped those I've shared it with the most is the concept of shape. I refer frequently to shape when talking with discouraged men and women along Skid Row. I point out that even the most desperate and tragic situations can form the basis for the good that God can bring out of our lives. God can always bring good out of bad. In the language of the street, you can't deal God a bad hand. Yesterday, I saw the power of these truths impact a man named Richard. As a toddler, Richard was abandoned in a hotel room by his prostitute mother. He had two failed marriages and his children with whom he had no relationship or little relationship. And now in his 40s, Richard was overcome by pain and frustration, and emotionally, he was still an abandoned little boy. When I explained to Richard the details of his unique shape, and the truth that you teach that God never wastes a hurt, you could see his despair begin to lift. Through weeping, there was a new sense of joy and celebration. It was as though God was embracing and tenderly stroking someone who for many years was convinced that he was utterly unlovable. You are loved by God, and the cross proves it. Jesus Christ died for you, and he loves you. And he says, I have made you, and I saved you, and I have a plan for you, and I have a home in heaven for you, and I want you to follow me. The third thing we need to do is refocus. And we need to refocus and develop what's inside you rather than focusing on what's outside of you. That's what we're going to do the next 6 weeks. We're going to focus on developing the inside of you. Nobody can disagree that in our society, we are obsessed with outward appearance. It's in every television, every magazine, every newspaper, every movie, and people spend millions of dollars to work on the outside. And they go to spa treatments, and they get all kinds of makeup, and they do all kinds of clothes, and everything buff up in order to look good. And they don't spend any time on the inside of them. It's all external and nothing internal. And yet God says this in 1 Samuel 16. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Looks at the heart. And that's what we're going to do the next 6 weeks. Focus on developing the inside of you. Now, my goal for you in this series is to help you become a confident person. I know a lot of people. I don't know very many confident people. I don't. Most people I know are honestly masking insecurity. I don't know many people who are that confident. But when you know your shape and you say, this is what God made me to be. I like me and God likes me. If you don't like me, what's your problem? I want to help you become a confident man and a confident woman. And my goal is that at the end of this series, you'll be able to say, like Paul said, last verse on your outline, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That was later copied by Popeye. But it was Paul who first said it. I am what I am. And that's my goal for you. Let's bow our heads. Father, I know that there are many people here who've never really accepted themselves. And actually, there are parts of their life, the way they look, the way they act, their talents, or whatever, their background, that they don't even like. They have rejected themselves. Tonight, we've seen that that's really rejection of you. It's doubting that you know best. It's doubting that you love us. It's wishing that we were a copy of somebody else instead of an original. Help them to take the steps of healing tonight. And help this series to be changing, life-changing in their lives. Now you pray. Say this in your heart. Dear God, I'm sorry, but I haven't accepted myself. And I realize tonight that that means I haven't accepted you. That I've rejected your creation. And I ask you to forgive me. I believe that you made me for a purpose. Thank you for loving me and for creating me and making me an original that is worthy and worthwhile and lovable. I accept how you made me. And I receive your love. If you've never accepted God's salvation, tonight say, Jesus Christ, I'm accepting you into my life. I'm accepting your love. I want to follow your purpose. I'm accepting your forgiveness. And I want to learn to know and love you. Help me to develop what's on the inside of me. And help me in the weeks ahead to discover my shape. So that I can know your purpose for me. So that I can serve you better. So that I can pass the test of life. And so that I can show your glory. I want my life to bring a smile to your face, God. Thank you for loving me. I want to learn to love you more. In your name I pray. Amen.
I don't know about you, but I was sure inspired today by Pastor Rick and that message. And I want to say that Rick and I are so appreciative that you took time out of your day to listen to this show. We love you guys, and we pray for you every day. And if you just prayed that prayer of salvation to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, congratulations. We sure hope you'll let us know about it by emailing rick@pastorrick.com. We want to pray for you, and we want to send you some resources to help you with your new relationship with God. And now, one of my favorite parts of Daily Hope, today we're going to end with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share a letter from John, who says he's been reading the Daily Hope devotionals for 10 years. Wow, great, John. John says he uses these written devotionals every morning to start his daily prayer and Bible reading, and he writes this. Pastor Rick, I started receiving your Daily Hope devotionals about 10 years ago. Not only did they bless my life and help me with my daily walk, I would save them and send them to my friends when issues or questions would come up. So I look forward every morning to reading these devotionals, which typically start my daily prayer and Bible reading. You know, I recently got my boss signed up for Daily Hope devotionals, and it hit me how powerful they really are. You know, my wife and I decided to support Daily Hope over and above our tithe to our church to help you bring one more to Jesus. Well, John, your message is so special to me. You have really blessed me with this letter because I'm glad for three reasons. First, that you have grown as a Christian through Daily Hope. Second, I'm glad that you're using the Daily Hope to help you study God's Word in a personal basis. And third, I want to thank you for caring enough to help other people that you have given generously of your funds and gifts to help us stay on the air and to allow us to actually even expand into other stations to take the good news of hope to places where it is desperately needed. So, John, thank you, thank you, thank you.
We sure hope you've been encouraged by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. And if you have, would you consider supporting us? Just go to PastorRick.com. Again, that's PastorRick.com. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.